In this passage in the book of Judges, we find two people mentioned. A woman by the name of Deborah and a man by the name of Barak. Deborah was much stronger than Barak. He was the leader of the soldiers and the troops and so on, and they fought the battles of Israel. But Deborah was the instigator behind it all. She stirred things up, kept things going, and she praised God in all that stuff. She sang regarding the overthrow of Israel's enemies. Her songs are sweet songs. Barak led the armies of God's saints to victory when they didn't expect it. You know, you and I have been delivered from the enemies of God's truth. And we've been put among God's people. And we ought to rejoice in that. Our sins have been washed away by the crimson flood of Jesus' blood. Satan's been overthrown. Now, he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he can devour, but he can't devour God's people. We walk in perfect liberty under the banner of our Lord and our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about some wells in this passage of Scripture. Their enemies kept filling the wells up. They'd have to redig them. But in our lives, God plants wells of blessing and grace and mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought his sheep to those wells, and he keeps them there. I want to bring you a message today that I have titled this message, The Joy of Imputed Righteousness. There are two or three things I want you to see from this 11th verse of Judges chapter 5. First of all, he says, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. These wells are cleared for those who are delivered in the place of drawing water. We're the children of God, and he gives us wells to drink from. Old songwriter once wrote, I come to Jesus and I drink of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. He's my hope. I hope he's yours. We're passing through Earth's desert, and it is a desert. On the way to heaven. This world is a dark and barren place. It is not the home of God's children. It is simply a place where we tent for a while. Our inexhaustible well of support and strength is not in us. It's not in our society. It's not in our culture. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope we got. Saints of God are always refreshed when they come to Christ. I like root beer. I don't know why they built that place in Danville on the wrong side of the road. I never stop there and get me a root beer. I like root beer. I can be hot, tired, and worn out. I sit down with a cold root beer and it just refreshes my spirit. But I tell you, it doesn't do for me what God's well does. The water from his well will lift your spirits. Amen. It'll come to you in the darkest deep that you've ever been in and give you light. God gives us this fountain of his sacred word, the Bible. I read the Bible every morning for about an hour. before I do anything else. And it amazes me every day I read passages of Scripture that I've read sometimes a dozen, sometimes 100 times before, and I always see something new and something that applies to me that day. This book of God is filled with promises that have to be fulfilled. Now, the world's full of people that are promising you things. You watch television, it's full of promises. You buy our car, it'll get 40 miles to gallon. Buy our soap, it'll get your clothes cleaner than they've ever been. Use our bank, you'll have more money than you know what to do with. Full of promises that nobody keeps. But God promises His people mercy and grace and provision, and He always gives us what He promised. The immutable faithfulness of God is the security of every saint. You trust God. There are people in this world I like. I really do like. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. In fact, there's several of them I bet like that. There are some that I like and I trust, and I still have to keep an eye on them. You never have to watch for God. He's always faithful. He never made a promise, not only that He cannot keep, but that He will not keep. The word is precious when it's read, but it's also precious when it's preached. There are not a lot of things in this world that I'm proud of. And I'm actually not proud of this. I'm just thankful that God, in His sovereign mercy, many, many years ago, came to a poor sinner and called me to preach His word. At the time, I remember thinking, I can't do this. I'm not capable of this. I'm not equipped to do this. You know what I learned through these 49 years of preaching? I learned I'm not capable of this. I can't do this. But I learned that God can. God also speaks to our hearts from the fountains of the ordinances. The church has two ordinances. Believer's baptism is an instructive testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Please be careful not to make something out of it that it's not. There's no salvation in that baptistry back there. Might be a little dust or a bug or two back there, but there's no salvation back there. And when I clean it up and fill it up and put somebody in the water, I don't put them in and bring them out saved. They're not saved when they go in. They're not saved when they come out. The Lord's Supper is a meal of faith that we took last Sunday for regenerate souls, for men and women who've been awakened, men and women who've been quickened, men and women who've been given life. And no sacred ordinances declare His majesty until He comes again. They're both special to me. I get excited every time we have a baptism. I get excited every time we take the Lord's Supper, because they remind me again that He's coming. But believers must never forget the glory of His mercy seat. The necessities of the house are brought by God for mercy. Why does God send preachers? For mercy. Why does He establish His church and keep it in existence? For mercy. Why did He give us ordinances to remind us of His mercy? Why does He show us in His providence to remind us of His mercy? I tell you, without prayer, You will soon discover the weakness of spiritual capability in mortal human beings. Without God, we can't do anything. Without God, we won't do anything. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is worked in us by the Spirit of grace. We need Him. These wells of blessing can never be hindered by our foes. Now, I don't know about you, but I have things happen in my life that people hinder me. Sometimes they're friends, sometimes they're enemies. Sometimes I don't know who they are. But I get aggravated by it. I don't like being hindered. But I'll tell you, hell cannot spawn up trouble in the lives of God's people that God can't settle. And you must never forget that. Never. We cannot be stopped. We can't be buried except in the blood. The fullness of His mercy and righteousness fills our hearts if we're given new life. They do all kinds of things to hearts and organs of the body now. Pretty amazing stuff. But they can't make an old heart new. They can take one old heart and put it in somebody else to replace a worse heart. They can't make a new heart. But God comes to dead sinners, lost in trespasses and sins, and He touches them and gives them a new heart. Our sins are forgiven in Christ. You need not bear them. You need not carry them. Your Lord and Master has taken your sins in your behalf and has paid the demands of a righteous and holy God in your stead. The water of His fountain is our glorious shield of life. It washes us, keeps us clean. Doubts and fears are the weapons of the archer against our doubts and our fears. You know, sad villains attack every soul. If you're a believer and you've never been attacked spiritually, you might ought to find out what you really are. Because I'll tell you, God allows wicked people and wicked spirits to afflict our souls, then He always comes and gives us relief. Our shortcomings and our indifference are all against God. All against God. Our cares will burden our souls, but God will still set us free. I used to read a lot of history, and I like history, and I studied it and stuff. But I've studied during the days before the Civil War, when slaves would escape from the South and they would go to the North and they would be protected and set up in a new life and so on. And to read some of their comments about how they felt and how fresh it made them feel to be free at last. But they were always fearful that somebody was going to come and catch them and make them slaves again. I want you to know that if you're a child of God, and God has set you free in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you need not fear. You need not fear. We're not moved to drive backward. God calls us to charge. You've seen that commercial on TV. I don't even know what it's for. I think it's a phone company or something. And this fellow rides up on this horse, and he's talking to these two ladies, and he says to the horse, "Get up," and the horse goes backwards. That's the way most things in the world are. They think they're going forward. They're going backwards. I tell you, the Lord of glory said to his people, charge on. Charge on. The house of God is a place of spiritual zeal. I hope when you come here, God speaks to you and speaks through me to you to stir your hearts to live for him and serve him in all you do. We're also delivered from political persecutions. We have enough of that in our world today. We're like sheep that are scattered, and they're brought under condemnation by the power of Satan. And yet, they remain victorious in the mercy of God. Some of you know that I'm going through a little problem right now. And I tell you, there have been times in the last month or so when I am so weary that I can't hardly raise my head up. Every time I sit down, I go to sleep. And I wonder, can I do what I need to do or not? And the Lord says to me, my grace is sufficient. And it is. We lay down on the bed and sleep full rest, waiting for the glory of God. Second thing I want you to see here is that there are some songs of rejoicing at these wells. Deborah sang a song, and Barak accompanied her, and they rejoiced in the goodness of God. In ancient times, wells were a gathering place where people fellowshipped. Some of you can remember, I know you can because you're older than me. Not many, but a few. Can remember up in front of the courthouse, there used to be a water fountain up there. I've drunk out of it many times. People would come to town on Saturday. People used to work till noon. They'd come to town on Saturday afternoon, sit in their cars up and down Main Street, get out and walk around, talk to each other, sit in front of the courthouse, and go over and drink out of that water fountain. And enjoyed it. It was a good place to fellowship. Well, in ancient towns, people would gather in the gates of the city near the wells, and they would share their moments with each other. We'll spend our time rehearsing God's mercies and not idle talk. You start talking about the Lord, people will change subject. You start talking about the Wildcats, they'll talk all day long. You start talking about the Bengals, and they'll talk for a couple of hours. And you can talk about this, that, or the other. But who wants to talk about the Lord? I tell you, God's people do. God's people do. I want to tell you every time I come here and stand in this pulpit how God has been a blessing to me and how he's done so much for me and still doing so much for me. Deborah and Barak went out to battle. Not in their strength, but in the strength of the Lord. And when we come together, we ought to recount the kindness of Christ. We're going to go in there after the service this morning. We're going to have a meal. We're going to sit at the table. We're going to talk to each other and share our stories and experiences and stuff like that. And I hope some of those experiences are about what God's done for us. Righteousness is frightening to the flesh, but it's glorious in Christ. I have no righteousness. But my master and my Lord has infinite righteousness. The justified child of grace fears not, because Christ meets all their needs. He's all I need. I got a sign hanging in my bathroom. It says, UK football and my dog. That's all I need. Well, it's not. I need the Lord more than I need UK football or my dog. The justified child of grace needs not fear, because Christ meets all their needs. You know, I like to, in prayer, climb up the steps of His throne, bow down at His feet, and worship Him. I always loved Job, as I talked about Job here the other Sunday. He lost everything he had, all his wealth, his cattle, his sheep, his camels, mules, his children, all died. Job do. Fell down before the Lord. Said, the Lord gave, the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you say that? I know we're prone to say that when the Lord gives something, but do we say that when He takes something away? Well, note that these righteous acts of God are all towards His children. Everything God does is for the benefit of His covenant people. Now, He may bless other people in the world. He does. There are people in this world that don't believe in God. They hate God. They hate the church. They hate the gospel. They eat breakfast every morning, lunch every day, and supper every night, and midnight snack in between. Where do they get that? God gives it to them. But God loves His people. The marrow of the gospel cannot be separated from distinguishing grace. God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He calls those people in due time by His Spirit. And they all come. We'd like to believe in the benevolence of God to His people. I tell you what, I don't even want to think about being in this world without God's help. Not with God's help, with God's enablement. There's a difference. Saints of God will bless the Lord not as servants, but as His children. Child, trust mom and dad. I've been in places and had a meal, and everybody had a piece of pie and one left over. Somebody said, but to mom, maybe you'll eat that. There's a piece of pie. You eat that piece of pie. She said, oh, I don't want it. I'm not hungry. She knows she's got a child that's going to want another piece. God will bless His people. He praises His saints above this world. Everything you think of in this world, God thinks more of His saints. He does. You might be the shoe sole of nothing. But if you're one of God's, you're special to Him. You're worth more than all the diamonds and jewels and the gold and Fort Knox, all the mansions in California, all the power in Washington, D.C. Far more. The Lord praises His people above the world. He gave His Son to die for you. His works to be prized are intended for these humble villagers, these people at Darak, that Deborah and Barak dealt with. They were just poor villagers, shepherds, farmers, businessmen. They were nobodies, hated by the world, hated by their enemies. But God loved them. We must magnify the Lord's choice of His feeble family. I got a card the other day from a lady. Asked me to pray for her brother, who was in bad health. I haven't seen him. Used to know him very well. I haven't seen him for 20 years or better. I had a lot of pleasant memories thinking about him. I'll tell you, the mercy of God's his hope. And the mercy of God's your hope. You know, Jesus' bosom is for the lambs. Oh, John, he was always leaning on Jesus' bosom, on his breast. Every time they wanted John for something, they'd say, "Hey, John," ask him. He was close to him. Where Jesus went, John went. That's where God's people stay. It's the Father's good pleasure to give his kindness to believers. And there's one more thing I want you to see here. There's a call here for us to go down to the gates. He says, "Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates." If the Lord has blessed us, and he's delivered us, and he loves us, and he cares for us, don't you think we ought to go down to the gates? The saints delivered from sin by redemption enjoy a great liberty. When we live in nearness to Christ, every gate is open to us. Every gate. Now, there are things I can't do. I never could jump rope. Can you see me jumping rope? If you hear the ground shaking some morning, that might be trying. There are things I used to do and I can't do anymore. I used to could dunk a basketball, but I can't anymore. There are things I never have been able to do and I'd like to, like jumping out of an airplane. But I'll tell you this much. I don't have to worry about sin. My Lord's paid the price. We walk from conversion to heaven in the liberty of a child of grace. June was telling me this morning about Tammy, and she got to weeping. It's the way we feel about people we love. But I tell you, we must also keep in our mind, if they're believers, they're going to a better place. There's two mistakes people make about dying. If a man or a woman dies without Christ, they say he's better off or she's better off. That's never true. If somebody is a believer and people say, "Oh, it's such a shame, I've lost him." Oh, they just got promoted. They're celebrating now. In a high place. This flesh commits evil without limits. But the child of grace walks in holiness without hindrance. The Lord of glory. The child of God stands only in the providence of his grace. True child of God fears no other. God's on his throne. He's on the throne. Where else you want him to be? That's where I want him to be. Our glorious Father laughs at our enemies in holy scorn. I have some enemies and sometimes they make me tremble. Sometimes they make me fearful. Sometimes they make me uncertain about the future, but I'm never fearful of them when I think about the fact my Father's got them in his hands. Everyone clad in the armor of faith is secure and invulnerable. Remember when David went down there to fight Goliath? Saul and those fellows were so glad to find somebody that would go out and fight him. They got the king's armor out and they put it on David. David was this teenage boy. You know, he was just a little skinny teenager. They got all this armor and put on his coats of mail and his helmet and all this other stuff. And David got up and he felt that. He said, I have tested this out. Just give me my sling. Here he went down to fight this man, 9'6" tall, was so strong, his arms were so big, that his spear, the shaft of his spear was like a fence post. And David goes down through there with a sling and 5 rocks. He didn't doubt his aim with the first rock. He heard that there was 4 more brothers. The saints of God discern between what's precious and what's vile. The saints of God judge this world, and by their testimony they condemn all sin. God's people should not be hesitant to speak out against sin. We live in a world today of go along and get along, and that's never right. There was a time when people in the church once stood against sin, and they were known throughout the community for that. Our Lord hates sin. He hates sin. We should too. Going down to the gates also is signified going to war with our Lord. You know, I used to be scared of that. I used to, when I was first was a believer, I'd read in the Bible about the Lord of glory coming back and was going to have this great battle over in Revelation and stuff. And I kept reading that and reading that. I was always afraid. I said, man, I don't know if I never was in the army. I don't know how to fire a weapon or swing a sword or shoot a spear. And I don't know if I could be anything like that. And I kept reading it. And one day I read, and all those people that came out of heaven and gathered around him, they aren't doing a thing. They're just sitting there watching him. And I thought, I can do this. I can do this. See, when God saves a soul, he gives them a hunger for the souls of other people. The people I'm compassionate about. There are people in this community I've been praying for 50 years. That God would do something for them. The best way to retain divine grace is to seek for more grace. Can't get too much of it. You can't put it up in bales like money or blocks of gold. But what you need, God will give you. And when you need more, he'll give you more. The saints of God are called by Christ to carry the light. This is holy warfare. The Israelites went down there and fought their enemies, and they didn't even take a sword. They took a lantern and a trumpet. They broke the lanterns and blew the trumpet. Said, "The sword of the Lord." The enemies ran and killed each other. I tell you, churches should not have a single person who doesn't serve Christ. Doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. Doesn't mean you have to be a deacon, elder, anything else. But you're a child of God. Live like it. Act like it. I'm at peace. If we're all doing what we can in God's kingdom. I am. I really am. We must live in the light of the last hours of our life. It troubles my heart when people bring me news that someone is failing in their health. Because I have compassion on people who are in distress. But I tell you, the king's on his throne. He's on the throne. And like 1 millisecond before you breathe your last breath and float out into eternity, he's still on the throne. I don't care when it is, he's still on the throne. The love we bear in his name equips us for all experiences. I want to tell you something. I don't know what life holds for me. I really don't. I have no idea. And I'll give you a little secret. You don't know either. But if you know the Lord of glory, there's someone who is preparing a way for you. If the Lord Jesus is not worthy, then don't serve him. But if he's the glorious redeemer of your souls, then enlist in his army and fight the battle of life. There's a day coming when nothing else will matter. It'll be Christ and Christ alone. We must live in the light of God's truth and rest in his spirit. They that are delivered from the noise of archers and the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of the villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Amen.